Our first presentation is current developments in the federal tax area, and we are pleased to have back with us again Bruce McGovern. Bruce has been doing this since 2014 with, I think, a couple or 3 years Stanley substituted in for him, but we really appreciate Bruce's continuing support of this tax conference. Bruce teaches at South Texas College of Law. He's a prolific writer and speaker, and he also heads up the low-income taxpayer, I don't know what you call it, facility, but it's a very successful low-income project, such comparable programs like that at other law schools have not fared so well, but Bruce's group has been doing a great job and got a fairly large staff that helps the low-income taxpayers. So with that, Bruce, take it away.
Now, thanks so much, Michael. And as he mentioned, I do direct our low-income taxpayer clinic at South Texas. And as I'm sure most of you know, that's a clinic in which students represent low-income individuals who have some kind of controversy with the IRS. And so we handle audits, administrative appeals, a lot of collection work. We have a lot of cases pending in the U.S. tax court, take those to trial when we have to in the tax court. And we have grown. So at this point, I have an assistant director, Jeff Gold. I've got two staff attorneys. I've now hired two fellows who are graduates who just passed the bar, who are doing outreach work, and eight students. So as I like to say, it's kind of like running a small law firm with some partners, some of counsel, eight associates, except there's 100% turnover in the associates every 4 months. So it's really not a very efficient model of how to run a firm. So this morning, we're going to take a look at some recent developments in the field of federal income taxation. And you should have available to you two sets of materials. One is a detailed outline that I write, and that is an outline I put together with two co-authors. Those are Professor Cass Brewer at the Georgia State University College of Law in Atlanta and Professor Jim Delaney at the University of Wyoming College of Law. So the three of us spend a lot of time each month looking at what's come out in the field and thinking about what's significant and then summarizing it. So you've got that. It's about 100 pages or so, you know, single-spaced outline organized by topic. The other set of materials is you should have the slides that we're going to take a look at today. You can think of these materials as having three levels. So the first level is the slide, which is a high-level overview. Second level, if you want more detail, is the slide will point you to where in the outline that item is discussed. And then if you go into the outline, you'll see a detailed summary. If you want more detail, if you want to take a look at the item itself, the third level, you can simply go to that item in the outline and click on it. It's hyperlinked, and it'll take you right to that case, ruling, regulation, or whatever it is. Now, I thought we'd start this morning just with a brief mention of where we stand from a legislative perspective, what's happened and what is likely to happen over the next several months. I know that Mark Gerson gave a presentation yesterday and talked about the legislative situation. But just briefly, I think it's fair to say at this point that the likelihood of year-end tax legislation at this point is about zero, right? So no debate on that. The current situation is the government is funded with a continuing resolution through December 20th. So between now and December 20th, Congress will have to take action to provide additional funding, either with another continuing resolution or an appropriations bill. The appropriations bill just is not going to happen between now and the end of the year. So most likely scenario is we'll see another continuing resolution, probably funding the government through about March or something like that. So that's where we stand right now.